Welcome to Easel Talk, the podcast for EaselInsight.com, with your hosts, Phil Stark and Gabor Svagrik. This podcast is created for artists by artists. To follow along with today's discussion, remember to download the show notes at EaselInsight.com/blog. And now let's get started with today's episode.
Welcome to Easel Talk. My name is Gabor Svagrik.
And I'm Phil Stark.
And today we're going to talk about the color of shadows, or shadows, I guess, multiples.
Yeah, what color are shadows?
Yeah, it's a very important question to cover. I think we can clarify some things for you if you're struggling with this topic. I know I struggled with this topic of the past, and painting outdoors, I would have to say it was the biggest eye-opener for me, and I'm assuming for Phil too, to understand more about shadows, because pictures lie. Over underexposed, and I really don't think that's the best way of, it's not a good way of learning about shadows, let's just say that. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be painting outside. You can set up a still life. Even there, you can learn a lot about shadows there too.
So, right. Yeah, painting from life is the best way to understand the color of shadows, the color of light. Because like you say, photographs just do not convey that at all. Just no subtlety whatsoever in photographs. So get outside.
Get outside. We can start with, and we kind of broke it down into different things that affect shadows. But I think it doesn't have to be, this is not in order, by the way, it's just, this is kind of a short list that we came up with. I think planes of the landscape, or think geometrically, just to make it really simple, planes of, let's say, a cube or a sphere or any geometric basic shape. Imagine if you put a ginormous cube outside in a field on a sunny day. Well, the upright portion of that cube will have a different color and value of shadow than the top of that cube. So imagine a giant tree next to the cube, and it's casting a shadow on the cube. So imagine that. So you will have different, and let's say the sun is roughly, let's say 11 o'clock, so fairly high. Mm-hmm. So I have to put it in context.
Right.
Then that means the horizontal plane of that landscape, so it's sitting on a flat grass, it's getting reflected light back into the shadow. Now, let's take it back a notch here. You have form shadow and cast shadow too. Okay, so I'm talking, let's say, about the form shadow, the shadow of the cube. So the upright part of the shadow, upright part of the cube, will have a different value and color than the top side. The reason is because it's getting reflected light from the grass, the horizontal plane, bouncing back into the vertical mm-hmm. surface. The top of that will be cooler because of the sky. Let's say it is, a blue sky. So I'm hope it just makes more sense just by breaking it down to a simple cube. So
yeah,
now your head might be like, what the heck did you just say? We'll do a little illustration in there, I guess, in the show notes.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that'll clarify this.
Yeah.
But so what I discussed was the planes of an object the shadow part of that object will depend on the angle.
So yeah, the value changes as the form changes.
Yes.
And form shadows different from cast shadows. So a lot of variations in their reflected light.
Yeah, so form shadow is the shadow of the object, by the way. If you're wondering, like, what the heck did he just say? It's the shadow of the actual, it's the actual shadow parts within the object. Cast shadow is actually it says it right in the title, it's the shadow that's being casted by the object.
Right.
So, and we'll go back to this a little bit here, but Phil, you can jump into this other part.
Yeah, and I want to think also basic temperature. If our goal in landscape painting or still life is to suggest the light on the objects, what the light is doing, and on a sunlit day. Basic idea is that, of course, cast shadows are going to be cooler because it's the absence of sunlight, and then the light areas would be warmer. So you could say, technically, shadows are bluer, sunlit areas are more yellow, but that's a very broad, basic idea. But it gets a lot more nuanced than that, because then you have local color. So I might have a green tree where the shadow on that green tree is going to be cooler because it's in shadow, but it's still green. So I wonder if I'm thinking in terms of a color to mix, it'd be more of a bluish green in the shadow and more of a warmer green in the sunlight area. So you want to think in terms of temperature when you're trying to decide the color of a shadow.
Yeah.
And you have the shadow, the color of the shadow, which is always cooler, and then you have the local color. A red barn is red, green grass is green.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of times we, or I have in the past too, I didn't know what the artist was talking about. Were they talking about form shadow or cast shadow? Because it makes a difference. So,
yeah.
Like when I'm talking about, when we say sky color affects shadow, what we mean by is cast shadow. Because generally it hits a horizontal surface, it's going to lay on horizontally as it glides across. So sky color will affect the color of the shadow. That's why generally on a blue day, on a sunny day, blue skies, cast shadow will have a cooler temperature.
Right.
Generally, that's just a general rule. Now, when we say cooler temperature, that doesn't mean necessarily blue. So I'm gonna talk about this, that again, I'm referring to Ken Oster. Ken said some interesting things in the past, and you might want to rewind this one, but it's a fairly simple idea. Is imagine a green field, and imagine that green field on a sunny day, so it's being, you know, lit by the sun, it's a German Shepherd. Okay, imagine that. So I'm going to talk about DNA just to, it is simple here. So it's a German Shepherd DNA in the green grass. If you have a tree there that's casting a shadow across that beautiful green field, German Shepherd DNA, in the shadows, okay, in the shadow part, the DNA, okay, in the shadow part, the DNA of the German Shepherd will not turn into a Chihuahua. Point being, it will have some green inside that shadow, even though it's a cool green. Okay, I know there's silence out there right now. I hope you're not driving and listening to this.
Because the grass would be a mutt.
Yeah.
If it had a mixture of
exactly
DNA.
It's a mutt. So it still has to have mostly German Shepherd DNA inside that shadow. So, but I love that explanation. It just says that yes, it will be cool because it's in the shadow, but it will have, you know, green. It's a cool green.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
And the idea being that the local colors, still the local color, whether it's sunlight or shadow, it's just affected by.
Yeah.
And when we say that shadows are cooler, that's true, but it's always in relation to the sunlit area. So I can have a pretty warm shadow, a lot of oranges, yellows in it, but still it has to be cooler than the sunlit area. So it's kind of relative. Not all shadows, like Gabor said, not all shadows have to be blue, but they're generally going to be cooler than the sunlit areas.
Yeah.
And that's the key. And that's where the subtlety comes in. Because you do have that reflected light bouncing in the shadows, which warms them up a little bit. But, Gabor and I talked earlier about starting out, it's a good idea to try and really observe and just paint what you see. And then the more you understand about color temperature, you can push it. Like I tend to push my shadows cooler and light areas a bit warmer just to get that contrast of warm and cool, which I think suggests light a bit more.
Yeah, and you can, you know, these are not laws, they're rules. Like law would be more like perspective. You know, if you mess with that, the house is going to sort of fall apart. you can't really, you know, skew perspective that much. You to a certain degree you can. I'm not saying that you can't, but it's more of a law. This is what we're talking, more of a rule. You know, there's very variations within this. But what just Phil talked about, it works in that painting for him because of context of how it relates to everything else. So that's why it could work. There's no color for shadows. There's no standard color like blue. That's what we're trying to tell you, that your paintings. If you're gonna paint every shadow blue and you're gonna have like 20 paintings, every one of your paintings will have this same exact look to them, which is impossible. It just doesn't happen in nature.
Yeah,
I mean, it just doesn't. Yeah. And ambient light being one of them will affect the value and color of the shadow too. So you can imagine like a red building bouncing back into the shadow and up and down and into the ambient light. So it could affect the color and value of the shadow. Ambient light is the light that's around you. Basically, that's the reason you can read a book under a tree, because of ambient light. Because on the moon, from what we hear, on the dark side, there is no ambient light. Zero. There is no reflected light. It's dark. You would not see anything. There's nothing. There's no reflected light in a hole. If there's a hole like a divot, there will be no reflected light. There's no nothing. But yeah, here on Earth, we have ambient light.
Yeah. Which brings the idea of a photograph. Photographs can be like the dark side of the moon. Shadows just go black. And that's what you want to stay away from.
Yeah, that's perfect analogy. Photographs are great. Phil and I use them all the time, but we put our time in outside first, so we understand when we look at a photo that needs to be adjusted. We might adjust it with some tools these days, sometimes with Photoshop, just to get an overall, if it's dead, but we don't have to. We've, you know, done our work outside enough that we know that it needs to be lighter in the shadows. But what happens if we're inside too much? If we don't go outside, it's interesting. We get our shadows is where I see, at least for me, they're becoming too dark. That means I'm not, you know. So this whole outdoor painting, it's not a sport on its own. It's something that needs to be part of your artistic journey. It has to be practiced. You know when you need to go outside.
Yeah.
You need to. It's not an option. It's a must. It's kind of a must thing to do.
And with the advent of cadmiums and stronger colors, the Impressionists used more pure color. And saw a lot more ambient light and reflected light, and used that cool shadow, warm sunlight contrast more. Whereas you look at someone like John Constable, who was, I don't know, a good 80 years, maybe 60 years before the Impressionists, he did not have that temperature contrast, but the shadow and sunlight contrast was still very good, maybe more earth color oriented.
Yeah.
But again, two different views of light and shadow. But both work.
We forget how fortunate we are right now. I mean, the world was not like this, you know, going back to, you know, Constable's time, let's say, or let's go back even further. We're like, you know, get on the internet and order some paint.
Yeah.
And whatever color we want now. I mean, that's...
They had to mix the right.
Had to mix it. So we, you know, in one way that was harder, but it forced them to think.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, these days, we're prone to think less and rely more on technology.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't do that as painters. Your paintings are going to look mechanical, basically.
Right.
I see painters' works that look good on the, looks okay on the internet or even in the magazine, if we ever look at magazines these days. But, and then when I see it in life, and it's like, oh my gosh, those shadows are just dead. I can spot someone that works or have worked or works outside on regular, this night and day. It's just not even in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
It's, you know, again, if you cannot go outside, set up a still life. It doesn't even have to be like apples and oranges. Literally go to like Toys R Us or on the internet, order some basic geometric shapes, light it with one light source, you know, put a little box maybe around it so you don't have, you know, to make sure it's one light source. Don't have like three light sources hitting it.
Exactly.
And then you're going to learn so much more about light even if it's it's, you know, artificial light, principles are very similar. It doesn't matter if it's artificial or the sun, than you would ever learn from a photograph if you're just constantly working from photographs. So if you're scared going outside, or you think it's just daunting, or you don't want to, have you just then still just work from life, do something inside, set it up. If it's too cold, I understand. I don't know when you're listening to this podcast. This could be middle of winter, and so it's just no way around working from life. And is it hard? Yes, it's hard. Are you going to get better? Absolutely.
Yeah. Even if the work you do outside, you're always disappointed with it, it will help your studio painting. I mean, it can't help but help it, because you're looking at real color, real values.
Yeah.
And also, I need to think, we've been talking about sunlit days, but you need to think about cloudy days too.
Yeah.
Because there the temperature or the color of shadow changes a little bit. There's not as much contrast between dark and light. There's more halftone in the lights. And darks are a little bit lighter and not as sharp a contrast from the lights. Generally, as a general rule, shadows are a bit warmer on a cloudy day.
Yeah.
But not to the extent that they're cooler on a sunny day. It's a lot more subtle.
And some of you that don't paint outside, right now this is not making sense. Because generally the photographs will not pick up this subtlety that we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So, fine. You don't want to paint outside right now. But at least sit there and please observe.
Yeah.
At the least, observe.
Take notes.
Yeah.
You don't have to paint the landscape. Yeah. Just mix colors and put them next to each other.
Yeah.
It's a great, great exercise. Just go in your backyard. I started, when I painted outside, I was afraid to go out, so I'd sit in the car and tape the board to the steering wheel. And I did my first three or four like that until, I eventually went out and realized it was stupid to be worried about sitting up outside. But do it. It really does help your idea of what color is.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt you. Observation for life is the key. When you have filters between you and the subject matter, because if you take a shot with your phone, camera, and a code, whatever, that's one filter, and the second filter is your monitor. Yeah. So there's two filters you're putting in between yourself, or printing it is another filter. So you get two filters versus no filter. Which one do you think is going to be better?
Yeah.
For observation, even at just at the minimum, like you're not even painting or taking color notes.
That's right.
Not even in the same ballpark.
Plus, you get lots of fresh air and vitamin D from the sun.
Vitamin D, yes, there's vitamin D. So if we all can use more vitamin D. We hope that some of these things have helped you. I'm sure we'll do other episodes on this topic. But if you're not an outdoor painter, just do at least some of this, and you can always. On Facebook, reach out to Phil and I, and drop us a note. And we'd love to hear, even if you're not a member of EI, did this particular episode or any other episode helped you?
Yeah.
So just direct message us. You can direct message us on Facebook too. And I always like to hear what you guys are, up to.
And this is one of the topics we always talk about on Facebook. Is of course color of shadows. Yeah. Temperature composition, so it's a good resource.
Yeah, it's a never-ending, in painting, there's so many things we can talk about, so that's why each episode we try to somewhat niche it down into a particular thing, but don't be daunted either, like, oh my gosh, it's just too much, there's so many parts to this. Don't think in those terms. Think in just basic geometric shapes, the three colors, or even just black and white. Just think of black and white and geometric
simpler
shapes.
The better.
That's simpler the better, and then you can move on to the next step later when you're ready.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, mentioning that, the black and white, good exercise is to use more earth colors, grayer colors, and go out and try and paint sunlight. Like use a black, ultramarine blue, burnt sienna, and yellow ochre, and try and paint the different colors in shadows and sunlight. And then go out with primary colors, real strong red, yellow, blue, and white.
Yeah.
And you just see the difference. It stretches you and makes you grow a little bit more.
Yeah.
Instead of just using the same palette each time.
Yeah. So thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time.
See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Easel Talk, the podcast that takes your art to the next level. Subscribe to and review our podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher. Check out our website, easelinsight.com, for more episodes and information. See you next time on Easel Talk.